You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. Thank you for tuning in for this Unity Partner Program. Unity Online Radio partners with spiritual leaders from organizations whose mission and messages complement Unity's. We are pleased to bring you this program on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Thank you for joining us for the Michael Chapman Giving Show. Each week, Michael will highlight the joy of giving, as well as shed light on some of today's humanitarian heroes and donors in both the private and corporate sectors. Michael will show you why giving of yourself is truly the best gift you can receive.
Hello and welcome everyone for another edition of the Michael Chapman Giving Show, where we celebrate the joy of generosity. If you can recall last week, my guest was and is today Wendy Steele, the founder of Impact 100, which is the largest network of women philanthropists and humanitarians in the country. Welcome back again for our sequel part two, Wendy.
Well, Michael, thank you very much. I'm excited to be back here so quickly.
Well, that's what happens on this show when you do a good job, so we don't waste any time. Well, let's just go into some of the things. I know there were some things on your heart, some things that you wanted to unpack that we did not get a chance to get to before we ran out of time last time.
Well, thank you. Yes, you know, you and I have such a good time when we get together and start chatting that the next thing we knew, our brief time together was up, and it was up right at the time that we were just getting ready to sort of segue our conversation. We had been talking about, you know, each of our roles in leading people toward a life of generosity, toward giving. And one of the ways, you know, you've done that for your whole career, probably your whole life, but you're getting ready. In fact, I believe you've just started this week in a new role, and you're going to be leading people in new ways. If I understand correctly, and so this is really what I'd love to spend some time talking about, you're now in beautiful Cape Coral, Florida. You are working as the leader of the Cape Coral Community Foundation, but you have a dual role. You're also leading the Financial Advisors Charitable Fund. And, you know, I'm a recovering banker. I spent years in the private wealth business. And so when I hear this dual role, I can't help but be intrigued. And I really want to hear about your transition and how it's going. But first, if you could just describe for everybody, but for me certainly, these two roles, how they work together, and what it's been like your first couple of days.
Well, it's a joy to be able to share this conversation with you because as a radio host, you're usually interviewing your guest. And so just to be able to role play with you in this way, not even role play, but to be able to flip the script, if you will, where you ask me questions, and I really love this format. Because I love hearing me, homie. what I would say is that it's going to be a great experience. I'm day three on the job, so the newness is fresh. But what I can tell you about the Cape Coral Community Foundation, as well as the role that I'm going to be serving as the president of the Financial Advisors Charitable Fund, is that on the local level, it's real laid back. The people are extremely friendly. It's a welcoming community. It's a growing community. And so it's ripe with opportunity on a local level. So it is a traditional foundation, smaller than many, but mighty in the sense that it's more nimble, it's more innovative, it's more creative, and it's just a fun place to work. On a national level, the Financial Advisors Charitable Fund is almost a community foundation within a community foundation. So when you look at the Cape Coral Community Foundation, it's based on geography and a certain region in Southwest Florida. But my role with financial advisors is one of a national affinity-based community where I'll be working alongside professional advisors, estate planning attorneys, wealth managers, everyone under that umbrella, teaching them a whole host of different service things through a menu of services that we'll be offering, you know, like how to use social media, how to use public speaking, how to use authoring, how to use blogging to really grow your practice. Also, how to do charitable gift planning as a part of your portfolio mix of how you go about building a clientele. So that's a little bit in the nutshell as to what I'm going to be doing in both roles.
Oh, my gosh. That is so exciting. And I'm grateful that you are letting me flip the script yes. here a little bit. Because those answers have just led me to so many more questions. Love Southwest Florida. I love to walk on the beach. I've seen you post a few pictures here and there of the beach.
Yes, absolutely.
So you've moved your family there. So of the non-work related things in Southwest Florida, tell me how you and your family have started to spend. What do you really like about where you are from an activity and a personal standpoint?
Yeah, three things. Beach, pretty much.
I knew I loved you. Exactly.
I am enjoying going to the beaches. I love the whole vibe of the Southwest Florida corridor. To be able to shoot to so many different places within where I live in Cape Coral, being able to go across the river to Fort Myers, which is kind of like this small, quaint, cosmopolitan area, mini version of Miami, if you will. Being able to go down to Naples, being able to go over to Sanibel, Captiva Island, and then if I want to go a little further north, I can go up to Sarasota, Orlando, Tampa. So I'm really enjoying the whole area. So I've been spending a lot of time at the beach, the resorts, even doing some things that I've never done before, like shelling, you know, collecting shells, just going to some of the cool restaurants, listening to some of the outdoor bands. It's just been really, really wonderful to be in this area.
That is awesome. Well, I'm completely envious because you just described exactly the sort of thing I would be doing if I were in your shoes. So, so those are great. And I'm excited for you. You will become hooked on shelling, I predict. At least
yes,
I am. Even in northern Michigan here, if you look around my house, there are shells from going to those beaches you're describing.
I am the Shell King now. That's my new name. I love generosity, but I'm the Shell King now. I have two in my collection.
You have two, so that's perfect. That's a start. You have to start somewhere. You know, part of what you described when you talked about the Cape Coral Community Foundation is how innovative, nimble, creative. And, you know, those are not typically adjectives we hear when we talk about community foundation. It's so refreshing to hear the excitement in your voice and to hear about this foundation and the creative and innovative and exciting ways it is looking to serve and expand that circle of generosity within their reach, both locally and nationally. And of course, what better person to do it than you? But how in the world did you all find each other? I don't know that story.
Well, you know, they had an executive director in the role for about 8 years, and she did a very good job, did some great things under her time here, but felt she needed a change. And so as a result of that, the board was also going through this new phase of growth and maturity, and they really wanted to get an entrepreneur. We want a social entrepreneur that would help us to bring another level of innovation and to really grow the foundation. So they did a national search through the Council on Foundations, through Chronicle of Philanthropy. It was posted broad and wide, and it attracted nearly 160 applications. It was a six-month rigorous process, of which in the end I was very fortunate that I prevailed through it all. But one of the things that kept, two things kept coming out in my interview. We want someone who lives the life of generosity. That is, it's more than a buzzword. We want someone where this is their lifestyle. So even if we did not have a grant to give, we want someone who wakes up every single morning not saying, what can I get? What can I give? And so I heard that a lot in my interview that you exude that, a life of someone who lives generously. So the second thing that I heard was, we want someone that's entrepreneurial. It was like when I read the job profile, it was like every third or fourth word, we want someone that's entrepreneurial, not someone that's going to come in, maintain status quo, do the same old, but someone who can really come in, challenge assumptions as to why we've been doing things the way we've been doing them for a long time. What are some of the new best practices, new ideas that are out there on the national landscape? And this was music to my ears, which really sealed the deal for me, that I knew from a spiritual perspective that there was a connection between the two of us. And they basically said, we really want someone who wants to be locally based, but nationally minded. And that was something that resonated with me. So I have been wanting to be in a role like this. I was not concerned about how many staff or the size of endowments. I was looking at a place, Wendy, that would allow me to find fulfillment. And this, I have found it not only in the job, but in the shells that I am collecting and the beaches that I attend over the weekend, I have found it.
That's so awesome. And I have to say, you know, in my work, I spend a lot of time talking to boards of all sizes and shapes, and it's rare, truly rare and special, that the board at Cape Coral Community Foundation was so innovative, so forward-thinking, and frankly, so realistic to be able to see so clearly in the mirror where they currently were and where they want to go. And then, you know, obviously this is just an ideal match. You are the singular ideal person to handle both the local aspects of networking and building the community of Cape Coral around the Cape Coral Community Foundation while simultaneously working on a national stage. And spreading the word that way about the Financial Advisors Charitable Fund. So tell me a little bit about what that will look like. You will, of course, being the giver that you are and, frankly, the expert that you are, you're first going to be sharing and giving financial advisors some benefits, some coaching, it sounds like, around social media and digital presence. And then tell me a little bit more about your plans there, if you can.
Yes, most certainly. According to the Financial Advisors Association, there's roughly about 6% of financial advisors who actively promote charitable gift planning as a part of their offerings in their practice. And we believe that there's real opportunity there if we could move the needle from, say, 6% to 10%. So the more financial advisors we can reach on a nationwide level that's having conversations with their clients actively and being proactive about how do they want to leave a legacy through their estate planning or what they want to do with their IRA or however they choose to give real estate, looking at any asset within their portfolio, being able to have those conversations, how to introduce them, how to sustain those conversations, how to transition them, and to be able to see community foundations as vehicles or conduits by which they can promote this giving. Now, here's the best thing about it, which sits so well with me just from a spiritual perspective, and that is, as much as we would love to have the professional advisors that we reach say we want to open up our clients to open up a fund through Cape Coral Community Foundation, we're okay with the fact that they choose to work with another community foundation. The fact that we are rising the tide for all charitable giving is something that this board is committed to. So that's something that was that really gelled with me, that really endeared me to the board of directors. In addition to that, even though that's going to be our core product, teaching financial advisors charitable gift planning, we are already getting calls from wealth advisors saying, how did you get over 300,000 followers on Twitter? I noticed you've written ebooks, you've printed books, you do blogging. I noticed you do a lot of radio interviews, television interviews. I know you have your own podcast. How can we use these tools within our practice to grow our practice? And so we want to be used as a resource to be able to do that. So it is a fee-for-service model inside of the foundation, but these are the types of services that we're going to be offering to our network of professional advisors.
That's brilliant and so needed. My gosh, yeah, you would be a tremendous resource to the financial advisors out there. And that 6% number, you know, when you think about it, if everyone who is within earshot of your broadcast right now, if they think about all the financial planners they know, so that's bankers and trust officers, that's stockbrokers, that's insurance folks, that's CPAs and others. You know, you get all those people, all the ones you know, and maybe you know 100 of them. That means of all 100, only 6 are comfortable having a conversation where they're going to actively promote charitable gift planning. And yet, charitable gift planning is one of the most vital things we can do in order to effectively tax plan as well as plan our gifts. And so it's disheartening, and yet the opportunity is so huge when we realize what a small percentage are currently comfortable doing that and how quickly I know you are going to be able to move the needle for those individual advisors to get them comfortable having these kinds of conversations. Because, my gosh, in some ways, not having the conversation is practically malpractice, depending on their client base.
Absolutely. And so we do hope to make the needle move in that way. And we're really excited about that. Again, the idea of the board is to look for ways to position the foundation nationally, although our local grant making most certainly will remain intact to benefit the local churches, ministries, and nonprofits in our area. But we do want to reach broad and wide in terms of our connection to financial advisors.
Which is so smart. Now, back to the local impact, if you will. My gosh, the Cape Coral Community Foundation is not a new kid on the block. So although they are, as you have described, nimble and innovative and creative, they've got deep roots and deep commitment to Cape Coral. Tell us a little bit, and it's quite a large board and what I believe to be quite an active board. Tell me a little bit about the history and some of the either the grants or the projects, the initiatives that the Cape Coral Community Foundation has been responsible for in that region.
Yeah, the organization has been around. The Cape Coral Community Foundation has been around for about 40 years, and it has done a lot of great things over its 40-year history. And in that, in terms of the grants and the impact that has been made through these grants, they have pretty much touched any target that you can think of in terms of arts, education, religion, faith, veterans, seniors. A lot of the grants have gone to impact lives in a major transformative way in the area. So even though the organization has a long history, there hasn't been a lot of growth over that 40-year history as it's compared to its contemporaries within the field. And so the board has come to a place that we really do need to be more entrepreneurial in our thinking to be able to grow the foundation as well as so that we can have more resources to be able to drive greater impact. And so that has really been the thinking of the board around that. In terms of strategy, we're still working through that a great deal at this point. But we do know that there's a lot of nonprofit organizations in the area. And many of our community foundation contemporaries within our region have moved to a place where they're focusing almost exclusively with donors, high net worth, ultra net worth donors. And they're working a lot with professional advisors, but not in the way in which we're working with them. So the average community foundation, most certainly not all, but the average community foundation partners with professional advisors in hopes of being able to have a conversation with them to have their client open up a fund with their foundation. That's not necessarily the way we're approaching it. Our approach is we have some skills as a foundation that can help you build your book of business. That's the place where we start. If it does not find itself to be reciprocated into a fund for us, we're okay with that as long as we are increasing generosity.
That's so beautiful and just right aligned with everything I've heard you talk about and known from your heart in all these years that you and I have been friends. So I am really excited to see how this unfolds, and the fact that you are this clear in your vision and really your next steps and casting this wider net of generosity, yet you're only on day three on the job. I'm impressed. Typically on day three, most of us can barely find the drinking fountain and the way to our car in the morning. So I am impressed that you've got all this really crystallized in your mind, because as you know, that's how things happen, is when you really see where you're going, then the next step becomes very simple. And it's clear to me that you and your board at the Cape Coral Community Foundation, you certainly see the next step and you see exactly where you're going. This vision you've cast is amazing. So hats off to you and to the organization for pulling all this together. I hope you'll let me do this again sometime in a few months when you have accomplished more and you've got more to report. Maybe you and I can roll reverse again, because I am no Michael Chapman, but I certainly love to ask the questions that you typically ask.
Well, I do, I do appreciate you doing that. We have about six more minutes in the show, but I do want to just say, and this is not publicly known, because I know how you operate, Wendy. I know your heart. I know your humility. So this is going to be a love fest here. So I'm just going to let you know how much I appreciate you and the fact that you have been so gracious in sharing and actually prepping me for this moment. And so, and even when we talked about the first segment of this interview last week, this whole idea of change and transition, how you were so gracious off the air to coach me and give me, help me to find the courage within myself to leave a previous situation that was not conducive to where I was being led, which is now the beach collecting shells and working with professional advisors and at the Cape Coral Community Foundation. So thank you.
Oh, my gosh, you're very welcome. You are very welcome. The great thing when you find friends and people in your life who make you better, and you hope to reciprocate. And you and I, Michael, it's a give and take, and it's iron sharpening iron, because you have so much to offer. And I've been the grateful beneficiary of your wisdom, of your kindness, of your generosity time and time again. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to help you a little bit and mostly serve as a sounding board. You know, that's what our good friends do. They serve as a sounding board so we can talk through the pros and cons in a safe environment of, you know, what do I do or which is my next turn. Really, you know, you have the answer all along. You just have someone outside of your family and your spouse who clearly take a lead role in that, who can shine a bigger perspective sometimes. So you've certainly done that to me time and time again, and I'm grateful to have a small role with you.
Well, thank you. I want you to take a minute and let us know, for all of our listeners who truly try to live generously. I mean, that's their lifestyle. That's what we try to do on this show, is to make generosity a lifestyle. I want you to take about a minute here and let me know, are there any recent books you've read or blogs or articles that you might be able to point our listeners to along this theme of generosity that you've read that has been helpful for you?
You know, I read a lot, and I read a lot of leadership books. So one of my all-time favorites is Leaders Eat Last. It's a Simon Sinek book, and he has an amazing TED Talk on his first book, The Power of Why. And in this case, part of what I really like about it, it's a small part of the book. He's got lots of leadership tips, but in the book, he really breaks down the chemical that that we know to exist. When you're generous, it helps to build trust, and it helps build trust within teams or within your family, within your community, because your body produces oxytocin, which is that trust and bonding hormone. And the other thing that it does is it suppresses cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And he happens to talk about that in his book, which I found terrific because it's a favorite of mine. The other book I'll mention is not a leadership book. It's a best-selling true story that I expect will be made into a movie. It's called The Boys in the Boat. And what I like about that particular book is it's about how you choose a team and how to overcome adversity, how to pull together for a greater good. And it's a feel-good, amazing, true story that took place in this country many years ago around the Olympics, Olympic rowing. And so it's timely and timeless. And those are two books I would point to.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm afraid I'm of the end there. We could probably do a part three. I mean, if we keep this up, we're going to have more movies and more films than Jaws, the Jaws series. But I always enjoy talking with you, Wendy. You're a dear friend. I think so much of you. And thank you for being on the Michael Chapman Giving Show. And I'm sure we're going to be seeing each other soon and talking soon.
Wow, that's terrific. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to chat with you on or off the air. So thanks for including me today.
Thank you. And thank you, listeners, for supporting us on the Michael Chapman Giving Show. We'll see you next week, Thursday at 11 o'clock Central. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Michael Chapman Giving Show. Join Michael at 11 a.m. Central on Thursdays as he helps you uncover the joys of giving, featuring today's best-known philanthropists, private donors, public foundations, and a host of others. To give really is to receive.
Online Radio has helped you grow spiritually through programs like this one. Please consider supporting this online radio programming. Visit www.unity.fm and click on Donate Now. Thank you for helping us continue to serve as the voice of an awakening world.
Peace in the presence of conflict. Love in the presence of hatred. Forgiveness in the presence of injury. These words are easy to say. It's challenging, though, to live them in everyday life. After all, I can make my words and actions peaceful, but I have no control over the words and actions of others. That's true, but think about it. If you, then I, then others, one by one, responded in love in every situation, the effect would be like the wave you see spread across a sports stadium. It would go on and on, gaining momentum as it moved through the people around us. I can let peace begin with me.
To find a Unity Church near you, please visit our website at www.unity.org.